deadly New York rail crash.
I am amazed that anyone got off that train.
Taiwan plane crash.
The video is absolutely horrifying.
Jordan's answer to ISIS.
People here are demanding vengeance.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A normal ride home on a commuter train north of New York City last night came to a sudden and fiery end. And now federal investigators are on their way there to piece together what happened. CBS's Heather Bosch is in Valhalla, New York.
A long silver commuter train on the tracks in front of me. The front car scorched, gutted by a fireball that erupted when the Metro North train collided with an SUV on the tracks, killing the driver and six people on the train. Authorities say the driver was on the tracks when the crossing gate arms came down, trapping her. She got out, looked at her car, got back in, and was trying to drive forward when the train hit. There were hundreds of passengers aboard. Reporter Alex Silverman spoke with some of them.
From his seat in one of the middle cars,
we felt a jolt.
Al had no idea.
And then we stopped dead.
Soon came the realization that something horrible had happened.
People in the front car started smelling smoke, and they started moving backwards.
In that first car, though,
it must have been pure panic,
says the county executive Rob Astorino, who saw the aftermath. The third rail sliced straight through the steel into the cabin.
To see what I saw in that front train is something that I will never forget. It was completely charred and burned. The third rail went completely through the entire front car of the train.
He says he can't imagine how anyone got out.
Overseas, a deadly plane crash in Taiwan. CBS's Seth Doan in Beijing says it happened shortly after takeoff in the capital Taipei as the plane narrowly missed buildings, and on video it's seen plummeting toward a highway.
The plane, after it clipped the taxi and then the side of the elevated highway, almost cartwheeled over into a shallow river just by the side of this elevated highway. Once the plane landed in the water, we saw images of people just scrambling to safety, hanging on to the side of the sinking fuselage.
23 passengers are known dead, 20 still missing in the wreckage, 15 survivors injured. Well, Jordan vowed revenge and took deadly steps just hours after it became clear yesterday a captive Jordanian pilot was murdered by ISIS about a month ago. We're live at the Foreign Desk with CBS's Vicky Barker.
Two jailed jihadists hanged in the pre-dawn hours, including the failed female suicide bomber ISIS offered to trade for Murat al-Qasas Bey, the man they'd already killed in the most primitive way, by burning.
They're trying to send a message that they will not be intimidated by the high technology that is being used against them.
CBS News senior security contributor Michael Morrell.
What do you mean?
The pilot's father, heard through an interpreter, wants more blood.
I demand that the vengeance should be more severe than just executing prisoners. I demand that the Islamic State should be wiped out.
For now, the barbarity and the blasphemy of this killing, cremation is banned in Islam, has galvanized even those Jordanians who'd opposed their country's role in the anti-ISIS coalition. Steve?
Here at home, ISIS is a likely topic when the president's choice to lead the Pentagon, Ashton Carter, goes before the Senate committee considering his nomination. CBS's Cammy McCormick is in Washington.
Carter faces little opposition, but senators will still likely use the hearing to question the president's agenda in Iraq and Syria and in Afghanistan, where Carter will say he'd consider changing the current plans for withdrawing all U.S. troops by the end of next year if the security situation worsens. He may also face questions about Russia's involvement in Ukraine and whether the U.S. should start sending Ukraine lethal military assistance.
And Ukraine's president said today he's confident the U.S. will send those weapons to his country. Questions are swirling around Argentina's president, Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner, 2 weeks after a special prosecutor was found dead. CBS's Manuel Bojorquez is in Buenos Aires.
An investigator confirmed that arrest warrants were found for the president and the foreign minister in the trash at Alberto Nisman's apartment. Nisman was found dead with a bullet to his head the night before he was due to present his case for the president's arrest to parliament. He believed the government had covered up Iran's alleged role in a deadly 1994 terror attack.
The president's denied any wrongdoing. The U.S. is getting set to destroy its largest stockpile of chemical weapons. The plan is to begin neutralizing 2,600 tons of mustard agent at the chemical depot in Pueblo, Colorado, next month. It's been a brutal winter in Boston, but it'll be a day of celebration today for the Super Bowl champs.
Despite a mountain range of snowbanks along the parade route, thousands of New England Patriots fans are expected on the streets of Boston to greet their Super Bowl champions.
Why do you want to be here?
Because I never went to the other Patriots parades, and I'm looking forward to seeing this one.
Why?
Because they won.
And they won in an exciting fashion, warming the hearts of a frigid region. Carl Stevens, CBS News, Boston.
The man who broke professional golf's racial barrier has died. Charlie Sifford, who became the first black member of the PGA in 1961, was 92 years old.
I love the game because it's a skillful game. Take the other club in your hand and hit the ball and make it go where you want it goes.
Last November, President Obama presented Sifford with the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
On the tour, Charlie was sometimes banned from clubhouse restaurants. Folks threatened him, shouted slurs from the gallery, kicked his ball into the rough.
A civil rights legend's personal effects are about to go on display in Washington. Here's CBS's Barry Bagnato.
On what would have been Rosa Parks' 102nd birthday, the Library of Congress is opening a display of thousands of her letters, photographs, and keepsakes, first to researchers, next month to the public.
Her writings are very personal and very revealing about the psychological impact of discrimination.
This letter she wrote to a friend lamenting the apathy of most Americans.
It is such a lonely, lost feeling that I'm cut off from life.
Meg Macklier, a manuscript specialist.
She tears off that veil of indifference and allows us to feel the pain.
On a nearby table...
This is a gem we were surprised to discover.
Curator Marisha Battle marvels over a slightly faded photo of a humble home with a picket fence.
This is the house she grew up in, and Tuskegee.
This image really portrays the simplicity of the life of this woman who became such a public figure.
Isn't that something?
An ordinary person who made an extraordinary difference. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Staples confirms reports it will buy top competitor Office Depot. Wildlife trouble in Florida? Well, thoughts turn to alligators, maybe snakes. CBS's Peter King says there's new concern in part of the Sunshine State about bears.
Hungry bears often stray into residential areas near their woods. One was spotted near a school this week, northeast of Orlando.
There is probably a half a dozen trash bags strewn all over the back of the compound.
Unprotected trash in this area is a big problem. Statewide legislation has stalled. Bears have attacked three people in central Florida in just over a year. Wildlife commissioners will consider crackdowns on careless trash disposal, but they're also looking at resuming bear hunts under various so-called conservative scenarios. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
TV is nothing like it was just over a decade ago. A new analysis finds there were 352 original scripted series last year on broadcast, cable, and streaming. That's a 1,300% jump from 1999. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.